Okay, at this time, I would like to call the July 18th Town of Cookeville Planning Commission meeting to order. And at this time, would everyone please stand for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda as it is before you? Okay. Seeing none, then, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And you have had an opportunity to read the minutes from the June 6th meeting. Are there any changes that need to be made or additions?
I didn't find any changes, Madam Chairman. I move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay. And I read them really thoroughly, and I couldn't find a mistake either. That was great. Okay, all those in favor?
I think there'd be a second.
Second, I'm sorry.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the purpose of the meeting tonight is to allow for two public hearings. And at this time, I'll give a little more explanation. So the very first thing that we typically do at this point is to allow each commissioner to declare whether they have a conflict of interest. Or they need to disclose any ex parte communications. And Commissioner Moore?
I've had no ex parte communications, and as far as I know, no conflicts of interest other than the fact that the applicant served on the commission with us for a period of time, so we're acquainted with her.
Okay. Commissioner Rice?
I have no conflict of interest. I do know the applicant.
One of the applicants, or both?
Just Miss Taylor and I've always been to the other guy's name.
Mr. Clinton.
I do. Sorry about that.
And I don't feel that I have any conflict of interest, even though I heard the last petition filed by the parties that we're going to hear. But I think the two actually go together well. Does any member of the public sitting out there wish to challenge the fairness or impartiality of the commissioners? Okay. If you wanted to challenge, you would have to state facts relied upon by the party relating to the commissioner's bias, prejudgment, personal interest, or other facts from which the party has concluded that the commissioner will not make a decision in an impartial manner. So, do you want to try again? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead. The hearings will be held in accordance with the land use procedures adopted by the Town of Cookeville, according to the Cookeville Town Code. The purpose of these hearings is to take public comment on the applications before us and to create a project record that will be forwarded along with the Planning Commission's recommended decision to the Town Council. The Town Council will review the record and issue a final decision that may be appealed according to the appeal procedures in the Cookeville Town Code. Please be aware these proceedings will be recorded. I ask that the commissioners, staff, applicants, and audience members please speak into the microphone. You'll each approach the podium, sign in, state your name, and speak so that we can all hear you. The first public hearing is for variance application VAR 054-17. Prior to the meeting, staff has provided the commission and applicant with a staff report and 8 exhibits describing the proposal and staff's analysis of its consistency with the applicable approved criteria. Staff recommends approval of the variance subject to conditions. Copies of the staff report were provided at the back of the room. The hearing process will start with a presentation by staff, followed by questions to staff from the commission. The applicant will then have the opportunity to augment, clarify, or rebut staff's comments and to respond to questions raised by the commission. After the applicant's comments, any interested party in the audience may address the commission regarding the application. Speakers should be advised that the Planning Commission's purview is limited to the scope of the project and the regulatory reach of the town code. Please be aware, at the end of the public comment portion of the hearing, no additional testimony or exhibits may be provided for the record. The Town Council will review the record at a meeting following this hearing, but cannot accept additional comments. So at this time, Owen, could you please provide us with the staff report?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good evening, Commissioners. Variance request VAR 054-17 is a proposal to replace an existing accessory structure of approximate dimensions 9 by 13 or so, located on a property line at 603 Northeast 6th Street, and replace it with another accessory building of larger dimensions, 16 feet by 24 feet, in approximately the same location. Accessory buildings that are not used for storing vehicles or for the same use as the principal structure may be located within 5 feet of a side or rear property line. The proposal is for storage and shop, and staff interprets that as being different from living space and therefore would be subject to the 5 foot rather than a full setback, the same setback as the principal structure. So the request is to reduce the side yard, north side yard setback, 5 foot setback to zero. So the evaluation process first requires that findings be made consistent with those outlined in Coopville Town Code section 16.14.020B. Once that is done, the second question is, are conditions necessary or appropriate to mitigate any potential impacts to other property owners or to increase consistency with the comprehensive plan? So the required findings, first of all, are there exceptional physical circumstances or special conditions applicable to the property that do not generally apply to other properties in the same district? Staff interprets this to mean other properties in the vicinity of the subject property and in the same zoning designation. In the case of the current application, that zoning designation is RM 9600, which is our standard single family zone. So staff's view is that a reduction in the building area of the site by 36% of an otherwise fairly standard lot in the RM 9600 zone constitutes a special condition applicable to the subject property. It is reduced because there is a 15-foot utility easement on the east and west side of the property and a 22.5-foot access and utility easement on the east side. As easements, these are not available for building sites, even for something that could encroach within the standard setbacks as an accessory structure. Second question is, does the strict application of the dimensional standards result in practical difficulties? According to staff's analysis, there are 3 locations the building could be sited to avoid encroachment into setbacks. The first is on the east side, which is staff regards as the front of the building, and to avoid to be outside the front yard, 25-foot front yard setback, it would have to be either at no farther than 6 inches from the face of the building, which would eclipse two existing windows, which are required for egress, bedroom egress, and would be at best odd-looking architecturally to place a shop and storage structure on the front of the house. The second option is a location 5 feet from the garage and 5 feet north of the property line. So essentially between the garage and the north property line, which would, while feasible, would create two very narrow 5 foot access ways to the front door, which is on the north side, and would result in an appearance of a something of a continual facade across most of the site. The third option would be to locate it in the northwest portion, northwest yard, which is really the only consolidated private yard space available to the property owner, and would essentially remove that from the site. While there are alternatives to a variance, staff believes that this would create practical difficulties. The next question is, will the granting of the variance result in material damage or be detrimental to other properties in the vicinity, and will it be detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare? No public comment has been received with regard to this application, for or against. The most likely affected property would be the property adjacent to the north, and that property owner granted an easement specifically to allow construction of this structure. Staff believes that findings can be made that the variance will not harm other properties or be detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare. Fourth question is, will the granting of the variance be contrary to the objectives of the comprehensive plan? There are several policies that are noted in Appendix A of the staff report. There are some what staff believes are the more relevant, potentially relevant policies from the comprehensive plan listed. Of these, there are two in particular, LU 1.2 and HP 7.8, that appear most applicable. LU 1.2 states that height and setback standards should be used to protect views and preserve the quality and character of the town. HP 7.8 directs that development should be compatible in terms of building size, massing, street pattern, landscaping, building styles, colors, and materials. Staff has noted no impacts related either to community character or to compatibility that would result from granting the variance. So I think it's important to provide a little history at this point, since, as noted, this has come before the commission before in really March of 2016. And at that point, the staff recommendation was denial based on policies to preserve Coopville's historic rural character. Current staff does not share the prior planner's view that the proposal or its impacts or the planner's interpretation of the intent of the variance process. The comprehensive plan policies establish and clarify what the regulations are intended to achieve. That is, in this case, to maintain and foster compatible and community-wide character of development. Standards such as minimum lot size, height, and setback are intended to implement this policy. However, the variance process is intended to provide a mechanism by which the generally applicable standards may be modified on a case-by-case basis, where such modification can be justified according to the specific conditions of the site. In other words, the policies express the vision and intent, but are not code. The regulations are the codification of that intent, and the variance process is provided because the generally applicable rules will not apply in all cases. Granting of a variance means that the proposal does not conform to all standards or their policy intent. The finding that a variance will be contrary to the objectives of the comprehensive plan should consider the scale of the impact on the general policy direction and not merely the fact that the policy direction will not be fully implemented. Staff does not perceive that the proposal will have a significant adverse impact on the town's character. Therefore, staff believes that this criterion is met. Finally, do the special conditions result from the actions of the applicant? The applicant purchased the property with the easements in their current location and dimension, and the home in its current location, home and accessory structure in their current location and dimensions, and therefore, there have been no actions taken by the applicant to create the special circumstances on the site. Staff recommends approval with two conditions. The first condition responds to the general requirement 2 in Coopville Town Code section 16.14.020C. And this this section states our conditions ask whether conditions are necessary or appropriate to mitigate any potential impacts on other property owners or to increase consistency with the comprehensive plan. The applicant has proposed a design for the proposed replacement accessory structure shown in Exhibit 5 that minimizes the appearance of scale from the property adjacent to the north. Condition 1 is intended to mitigate the visual and stormwater impacts on the adjacent property and to stipulate that the variance only applies to the current proposal. So essentially, staff is recommending a condition that the applicant's design in large part, in substantial part, be constructed with the building permit. This allows for some leeway in design as it is a fairly rough, but in general that the roof slope toward the adjacent parcel, that the lowest wall be adjacent to the lowest parcel, and that no future breaks such as dormers or other breaks in the roof plane be added. The second is intended for informational purposes only. Documenting the performance under the variance must occur within 1 year, or an extension is required in writing by the town planner at the time. And that concludes staff's presentation. Available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. So at this time, commissioners will address any concerns or questions to Owen. And Commissioner Moore, did you have any questions?
I just wanted clarification on one point, Owen. The easement that was granted by the neighbor to the north, what's the size of that easement, the width of it?
It is 6 feet.
6 feet, so
it would be a standard side yard. It would be a standard side yard setback, although in this case it's only a five foot side yard requirement because it's an accessory structure.
And nothing, nothing can be built on that easement area, is that correct, by the neighbor or by the applicant, as you understand, if this variance were to be granted?
Correct. The applicant, any development of that occurred would have to be by the owner of that easement, the owner of the property on which the easement occurs, and it is staff's understanding that it is a maintenance easement which is intended to allow full access, 6 foot access to the side of the structure for maintenance purposes, and that would, in staff's view, not an attorney, but that would appear to preclude any adverse use of that, such as a building.
Almost has the effect of extending the applicant's yard by 6 feet, doesn't it?
In general, it does, correct.
I have no other questions.
Okay, Commissioner Rice.
Yeah, the on that setback, that easement, that in itself does not grant the 5 foot setback requirement, does it?
That's a good question. The requirement for a 5 foot setback for an easement applies only to utility and access easements.
Okay. And the other question, I noticed that you mentioned that nothing should be built or extended across a property line. According to the drawings or the illustration, it shows overhangs. Does that mean that building needs to be moved? Or the that overhang on that side of the wall needs to be not be there at all.
Correct. That was the intent, is to avoid issues in the future by requiring that all portions of the building be on the south side of the property line, and that no eave extend across.
And another question I had was, you mentioned a roof line. Are you referring to the ridge line of the structure?
Or? Correct. The ridge line. Correct. Okay.
And is that a conflict in the height requirement for accessory building, whether in the town ordinance or the building code?
It is not, as far as the zoning code goes, which allows 28 feet, irrespective of whether it's a principal or accessory structure. Whether the building code would have, any new construction, replacement construction would be subject to all building code requirements, and I couldn't tell you whether I'm not aware of any issues, but that would be would have to be addressed at the time of building permit application.
And if it is, I imagine the applicant would adhere to the building code requirement?
They would be required. This provides no allowance for variance of the building code standards.
And there was one final question. I don't have my notes from the last hearing on this variance, but I seem to recall there was an issue about the lot coverage or the previous areas where perhaps they're going to remove a walkway. Is that still a concern?
No, that was a surprise to current staff that was included in there, because that the impervious, so there is a lot coverage standard, and that has been reviewed by staff for this proposal. The lot coverage standard in the RM 9600 zone applies only to structures in excess of 42 inches. So, however, in two other zones, in
42 inches,
structures greater than 42 inches in height.
Okay.
So a deck, a low deck, would not apply, but a clearly a roof line would. The impervious surface measure of lot coverage applies only in the residential reserve and low density residential zones.
Thank you. And you may have answered the same question I'm going to ask when you spoke to Ricardo's concerns, and I'll say them maybe a little more simply. So the face of the structure that will be built on the existing concrete pad that faces north will not have any embellishments like windows, dormers,
and
it will only be 8 feet high to the eave line?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's 8 feet to the roof, to the eave line. There is no condition that there can be no windows. I think it would...
And I shouldn't have said windows, because that really wasn't part of it. I was more concerned about any projections of architectural.
That's the intent, is to maintain the roof line as proposed, with no projections from it, to minimize the visual appearance of massing from the north.
Okay. And so, and this really doesn't apply, but any other types of architectural features on the other three sides could actually be included if they so desired.
Absolutely. There was no reason to preclude them elsewhere. The concern was merely to minimize that appearance from the north.
Okay. Are there any other comments?
Yes, I do have another one. Does the town code allows more than one accessory structure on a property?
It does. There is a limit of 1,200 square feet of all, I believe it's, I can look it up, I believe it's 1,200 square feet of all accessory structures on a site.
Thanks.
Are there any other comments, questions? Okay, then at this time, we will take testimony from any of those that wish to comment. And I might just say that there weren't any written comments received prior to this meeting, so the only ones we'll have will be from you that are here. You do need to sign in, speak to the microphone, giving us first your name and address. And is there a time limit on these comments?
I would say 5 minutes would be appropriate.
5 minutes is kind of all is what we usually allow at this point. Lori?
Do the applicants, I thought the applicants augmented first and then there was questions, or are we after this part?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
I thought the applicants did the augment, like we had a part that we said, and then the public comment happened. Misinformed?
Oh, I'm sorry, I think I skipped your comments. I'm not sure how that happened. So yes, you may comment.
Do you want to?
I think we understand. Yes, and we have the visuals.
Okay, my name is Lori Taylor, just for the record, owner of 603 Northeast 6th Street. It's my partner, Jim Colton. We have submitted this application and appreciate your taking the time with it. I know some of you have seen this before, and just to provide a little background for the public, I was a member of the Planning Commission when this came before the Commission before, so was not even in the room for the prior hearing. This is the evolution of a process that started 3 years ago. Just to give you a little background, the reason there is an easement is Planner Smith, two planners ago, advised us that the seeking an easement with our neighbor would be the way to remedy this. We did that in exchange for building a fence for our neighbor. She granted the easement and it was filed. When planners changed and it came to Planner Barricone, we checked in with her, moving the project forward. She initially told us that this easement would be fine, and the same day she got back to us with an email from the mayor saying she had spoken with Mayor Nancy Connard and no, an easement would not be proper, we would have to pursue a variance. So at that point we were looking at September 2015. Jim, if you want to give this to Owen and the members of the commission. This is just, I'll explain to you the history and then what we're giving you. At that time, Planner Barricone indicated to us that she would support, that she would provide a positive staff report for the variance. So we went in good faith with the town, which we later found was to our detriment, when a week prior to the scheduling of the Planning Commission meeting, we were informed that she would not be writing a positive staff report, that instead she would be writing a negative staff report. So we really didn't have much time to recover or prepare for that, and we probably wouldn't have attended a Planning Commission if the planner had told us they were going to deny him. And because of my membership on the Planning Commission, I couldn't contribute to that, and Jim did a fabulous job in my stead. So after that, once we received the denial, the project was then going to go to the council as per code. But we did not understand why things had changed. In fact, the planner had said, Planner Barricone had said she was taking it to a design review board with the county and the reserve probably a month prior to the meeting, and we found out from Planner Dennison that it was approved by the reserve. So we were completely confused when this happened. After receiving the denial, we elected to withdraw our variance without prejudice because this is an open public hearing. This is the only time we could get information in that would affect the case. And we were operating under good faith with the town of Cookeville and didn't submit all the applications and the history of communications and all the things we have been told. So that's why I'm giving you this, so that you have it. So at this point now we have resubmitted a variance. Because we worked with Planner Dennison, and he indicated that he would support a variance on this case. So what you have in your possession is merely me making sure that these past communications are filed as a part of this process, because this is the only chance we have to do it. So, Jim, did you want to go ahead?
So my name is Jim Colton. I also live at 6036th. Specifically, Commissioner Reyes, you had two questions last time, and I wanted to explain why I think things are different this time. The two objections that were brought up by the previous planner have been resolved. So when we came before you the first time, we were facing a planning commissioner who was recommending denial. So now we have a planning commission, I'm sorry, now a town planner who has reviewed and corrected what we viewed as errors in the previous planner's interpretation. So we're not just trying to get a second chance at this. We believe there was misinterpretation and misinformation, in fact, the last time, which was part of the reason that we withdrew our application. So I had thought of bringing slides, but you do in fact have the visual information in front of you. There really is only one place this could go on the lot besides this, and it takes the entire front yard. So if anybody has had the Google Earth view of 603 6th, we have a piece of grass about the size of that group of chairs. That's our whole front yard, and if we put the shop there, the yard is gone, the main front windows are occluded, and there's no longer a way to the front door. So we tried very hard to figure out a way that this could be done without a variance, and this is in fact the end of a very long process of trying to come up with an option that doesn't require this. So this, we're not just trying to do this because it's easier. We really believe this is the only option.
Thank you.
I just want to add one more comment. In that packet that you have, one of the things we received when we did a public records request was a letter from the attorneys to the town, to Planner Barricone, when she first started working with us. And in that letter, the town's attorneys recommended the variance process and recommended that it be approved and even wrote the findings. So I'm not sure what happened with the last planner or why they chose to go against the opinion of the town's attorneys, but that's also in there for your review. And I think that's it, unless you have any questions from us.
We'll be asking questions after the public addresses their concerns.
Okay, thank you.
So, now, to repeat something I already said, but more appropriately this time, if there is any public comment or questions that you would like to address to the applicants, this is the time that you may do so. Okay, I will take that as there are no questions or comments, which then precludes the applicant needing to respond to there not being any questions or comments. Are there any comments now again from the planning commissioners to any of the people that have just presented information?
Madam Chair, I just have one question of the applicants. Just a clarification. I believe that Owen said that you acquired the property and already had the easement to the north, but I understood from these documents that you acquired the easement yourself. Is that correct?
There are three easements that affect this property. The existing conditions are the access easement of the gravel drive on the east side of the property and the utility easement on the west side of the property. So those were the special conditions that limit how much of the lot can be used. We then pursued a third easement to the north as an agreement with that neighbor who fully supports this project.
Based on the recommendation of Planner Bridget Smith in April of 2014.
I have one very minor question. When you were talking about the impossibility of putting the structure in your front yard, which direction do you consider to be the front? I didn't know if it was what Owen had stated in the report or the true front or anyway.
From the code, the front is considered to be the east. That's
east,
how we approach the house with the garage. But that's the side where the big easement is for the driveway. Our front door and that yard face north.
Okay. That's what I surmised from the different
It's a very strange lot.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the commissioners? Comments?
Madam Chair, as a point of order, may I recommend that the commission accept document from the applicant as exhibit 9 for the record.
Some of this is replicated in our packet. It looked to me like I didn't have the opportunity to very closely.
I don't believe any of the emails or legal opinion was in your packet. We received most of those after a public records request, although some were from our own records. I just wanted to add that we do accept the conditions and support the conditions that go along with the variance as proposed by the planner.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I think that we supplement the record with the additional information that was just submitted to us.
I second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
So your submission has been included as part of the public record going forward. So at this time, that will close the public comment portion of the hearing. And in order to proceed, is there a motion on this proposal?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make do this with two motions because I think it's a little awkward to do it all in one. So I'd like to move that the commission make the following findings with respect to variance request 050-17. One, that there are exceptional physical circumstances or special conditions applicable to this property which do not apply generally to other properties in the same district. Secondly, that the strict application of the provisions of the zoning code would result in practical difficulties. Third, that the granting of the variance would not result in material damage or prejudice to other properties, nor be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Fourth, that the granting of the variance would not be contrary to the objectives of our comprehensive plan. And fifth, that the special conditions that exist with this property do not result from voluntary actions of the applicants themselves.
Okay, I see where you're going. Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this motion from the commissioners? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And your second part of your motion, or the second motion, I should.
Madam Chair, based on the findings that the commission just made, the application materials provided to the commission, the staff report, comments we've heard tonight at the public hearing, and other information in the record, including all of the exhibits, I move to recommend approval of variance request 054-17, subject to the conditions of approval as proposed by the planning director.
Second?
Second.
Is there any more discussion then on this motion as presented and seconded? I don't know if this is the appropriate time. I want to just make some comments as how they pertain to this, because I was part of the first hearing process and now part of the second hearing process. And I did pull the packet from the first time it came before the commissioners, the Planning Commission, and read through it again to see how I could view this, and I should add that I voted no the first time, but how I could view it differently and have a different vote on exactly the same proposal. Well, it's not exactly the same, but certainly the outcome will be the same. And so I went back and reviewed this packet, and one statement really just came so strongly and spoke to me at that time, and I'm just going to read it now. But the town planner's recommendation, or one of the things that she put in her report, was she said staff strongly encourages the Planning Commission to deliberate this request carefully. Variances are a very common request of staff, and if the Planning Commission does not consider the wording for their recommendation carefully, they may be setting a precedent for a variance request in the future that may be detrimental to the town. So for me, at least at that time, I was looking not only at the proposal, but the ramifications it may have going forward, just because I was directed to do that. The second part of the differences this time is we have a town planner who did an amazingly thorough job of documenting this proposal and presenting it to us. And the conditions that he has set on the proposal certainly will limit this variance to one location, and I don't see how it could ever be applicable to another location. And that certainly makes a difference in my viewing of this proposal. Those are my comments and to the discussion. Are there any others?
Yes, Madam Chair, I just wanted to add to that that the significant point to me is the existence of that easement to the north. As I expressed at a hearing last month, I'm generally opposed to putting buildings right on a lot line, but this is a little different. This has the applicants and the neighbors have already provided for what in effect is a setback extending onto the neighbor's property. So I think that does make it different, and I can support it.
Ricardo,
thank you for the comment.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Commissioner Moore, I'll let you go. I'm doing it separately just because this is the final part.
I vote, I vote aye.
And my vote is in the affirmative as well.
So, James here, aye.
Okay. It has been passed unanimously to approve the variance request, variance VAR054-17. So, we now repeat the process. Okay, the second public hearing is for variance application VAR060-17. Prior to the meeting, staff has provided the commission and applicant with a staff report and 13 exhibits describing the proposal and staff's analysis of its consistency with the applicable approval criteria. The exhibits included one public comment email and attachment, which is numbered as Exhibit 11. Staff recommends approval of the variance subject to conditions. Copies of the staff report were provided at the back of the room. The hearing process will start with a presentation by staff, followed by questions to staff from the commission. The applicant will then have the opportunity to augment, clarify, or rebut staff's comments and to respond to questions raised by the commission. After the applicant's comments, any interested party may address the commission regarding the application. Speakers again should be advised that the Planning Commission's purview is limited to the scope of this project alone and the regulatory reach of the town code. Please be aware at the end of the public comment portion of the hearing, no additional testimony or exhibits may be provided for the record. The Town Council will review the record at a meeting following this hearing, but cannot accept additional comments. Owen, can we have the staff report on variance 060-17?
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Proposal is to construct a two-story single-family residence and a two-story detached garage with living space above on a half-acre lot zoned low-density residential at 1103 Leech, Northeast Leech Street. The accessory structure will be used for storage of vehicles and living space and is therefore subject to the same setbacks as a principal structure in the LDR zone. And these are a 25-foot front setback, 15-foot side setback, and 30-foot rear setback. The residence itself will comply with all setbacks. Variance is requested for the rear and south side setback for the garage structure. On the south side, the applicant requests a reduction from 15 feet to about 12 feet 5 inches on the south setback. And for on the rear setback, that's the east side, from a 30-foot standard setback to 20 feet with the variance. The proposed setbacks are shown on in Exhibit 4. The applicant originally proposed a 6-foot 4-inch side setback and a 21-foot 6-inch rear setback for the garage, as shown in Exhibit 3. And this is, this was the site plan, Exhibit 3 is the site plan that went out with the notification. So subsequent to the notice going out, with receipt of a written comment from the owner of, of an adjacent property, the applicant revised the proposal to increase the south side setback from 6 foot 4 inches to 12 foot 5 inches, and a slight reduction on the rear setback from 21 foot 6 inches to 20 feet. Just barely over 20 feet. Additionally, the proposal will exceed the lot coverage limitation in the LDR zone of 25% of usable area due to the length of the driveway. And again, as we, it's the new record. So in the LDR zone, as well as the residential reserve zone, the lot coverage is measured according to impervious surface. And so the driveway would qualify as an impervious surface, provided it was not constructed of permeable pavement. Although not requested by the applicant, staff proposes that the Planning Commission also consider a variance from the lot coverage standard to allow up to 40% coverage. Now, staff did a very rough calculation of what is shown on the site plan, and that is about 35%. But again, this was very rough, it was hand measured. So I think for a factor of safety, 40% is probably probably the number, the figure that should be considered if considering granting a variance from lot coverage. So again, for the evaluation process, the first question is, can the findings in Coopville Town Code section 16.14.020B be made? And then, if so, are there conditions necessary appropriate to mitigate any potential impacts on other properties, property owners, or to increase consistency with the comprehensive plan? So for the findings, the first one, again, is, are there exceptional physical circumstances or special conditions applicable to the property that do not apply to other property, generally apply to other properties in the same district? And again, staff interprets this to mean other properties in the vicinity and the same zoning designation of low-density residential. In staff's view, there are special conditions that may be considered as justification for a variance. First, the lot has a very highly irregular shape, as evident in various exhibits, including 3, 4, and 10. According to staff's analysis, the north 100 feet is the developable portion of the site, and that is generally the west or the east half of the site, measured east-west. So it is, if you look at the eastern, at the southeast corner of the site and follow that line, that south boundary, until it intersects with the next west boundary, that would be the area that staff believes is developable. Now the issue with the remainder of it is the same setbacks still apply, but it is a maximum of 57 feet in width and narrower as you approach the entry from Northeast Leach Street. Further, as indicated on Exhibit 10, the middle portion of the site has a somewhat steep topography. The level area with sufficient lot width to efficiently support construction of the residence is on the, again, on the eastern portion of the north 100 feet. Other properties in the vicinity and the low-density residential designation have panhandles and non-rectangular shapes and topography. But staff, after reviewing available information, staff's view, the subject site is somewhat exceptional with regard to both shape and topography in terms of constraints on development of the site. Second question is, does the strict application of the dimensional standards result in practical difficulties? And this is a practical difficulties is a challenging standard. It's clearly open to interpretation. Setbacks in the LDR zone are intended to be consistent with the half acre of usable area of the site. As noted, the site has less than half acre, according to staff's calculation, about a third of an acre, where the lot width is consistent with the 100-foot lot width standard in the zone. From that third of an acre, a portion, the western portion, is further constrained by topography. Now, clearly, with sufficient engineering, and if you apply enough money to it, anything can be built on. We have seen that. But in terms of practical difficulties, staff believes that the shape, as well as the topography, limit the area, and therefore the area available for development, for efficient development, is closer to a lot in the single family, the RM9600, which has substantially smaller setbacks. That these setbacks were intended for a larger usable lot area than is provided on this site. Further, as noted in the staff report, the applicant is proposing a fairly modest structure or pair of structures relative to other homes in the vicinity. It's, about 45 feet on one dimension and about 35 or so on the second dimension for the house itself. There are other homes in the vicinity that are in excess of up to and perhaps in excess of 80 feet in length. So the house that is proposed is again fairly modest. The issues that they have encountered in arranging that with the standard setbacks indicate that there may be practical difficulties in meeting the standard setbacks. Further, the length of the driveway can be attributed, which contributes to the larger impervious surface and therefore lot coverage relative to the standard. Can be attributed in large part to the distance from the public right-of-way to the more developable area of the site. This is clearly in excess of any standard driveway, a typical driveway in the town or in the same zoning designation. According to staff's analysis, it exceeds 400 feet in length. Third, will the granting of the variance result in material damage or be detrimental to other properties in the vicinity, and will it be detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare? As noted, a comment email was received within prior to this meeting, and that is Exhibit 11. These comments were received from the property owner to the south, Mr. Yorioka, who expressed concern that a two-story structure, the garage, portion of the garage is two stories, on the property line, or not on the property line, but setback 6 feet from the property line would have mass and scale impacts, visual impacts on the future development of his property, and requested that the variance on the south side be denied in total. Again, the applicant's response was to increase the side yard setback on the south from 6 feet 4 inches to 12 feet 5 inches. So, he has not achieved the full 15-foot setback as requested by the neighbor, but has substantially increased it. As noted in the staff report, it is possible that comments will be heard this evening from residents on properties adjacent to the or in the vicinity of the subject site on view impacts. It is important to note that the variance hearing does not determine whether the lot will be built. The hearing is only on whether reductions of the setback will be allowed. So to some degree, in any event, there will be, this is a prominent piece of land. The developable portion is as high as about anything in the vicinity, and therefore it will be, in all likelihood, it will obstruct some views with or without the variance. But, and so the comments on view protection, and there are clearly something that the Planning Commission can consider, should be limited to those that are affected by the reduction in setback. Fourth, will the granting of the variance be contrary to the objectives of the comprehensive plan? Policy LU 1.2 states that height and setback standards should be used to protect views and preserve the quality and character of the town. Again, no view issues have been raised in writing to date. And it, as noted in the staff report, the town is not responsible for preserving view corridors. Again, impacts to adjacent properties, property owners can be considered as part of the variance approval or conditioning of a variance. However, the impacts to other properties that may result from a reduction in the setbacks should be balanced with the other factors that the Planning Commission and ultimately the Council will need to consider in terms of the equity to the property, the owner of the subject property, in finding a developable building site within that. Staff does not believe the proposal will have significant adverse impacts on the town's character. Finally, do the special conditions result from the actions of the applicant? The applicant purchased the property as it stands today in 2014. The boundary line adjustment that is referred to among the exhibits had been executed at the time that the applicants purchased the property. So there are no special conditions that have resulted from actions of the applicant. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with two conditions. The first one is a clarification of the footprint, that what is proposed today not be exceeded, that the variance applies only to the footprint as shown on the revised site plan. And second, that the, and again intended for informational purposes, that just documenting that performance under the variance would need to occur within 1 year or get a written extension on that from the town planner, or the application, the variance would be considered void. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, Owen. And I'm going to ask you on point four, the granting of the variance will not be contrary to the objectives of the comprehensive plan. About three quarters of the way through, you said something to the effect that the variance is about the setback changes. It's not about the building or something to that effect. Would you say that again, please?
That is correct. That the Planning Commission can and should consider public comment related to view impacts that result from the reduction in setback, but not for the building. A building of the site in general.
Okay. Because many, I'm assuming here the implication is that all lots once built impact somebody's view one way or another to some extent.
In right? general, that is true.
Okay.
Depending on topography, that is true in many, many instances, correct.
Thank you.
And may I augment that with one more point? That again, the policies of the comprehensive plan are intended to direct the regulations. They are not code. They are intended to direct the regulations that are codified in the zoning code and elsewhere in the Coopville Town Code. The expectation is that the standard application of the height setback and other design controls as referenced in that policy have already been met with the adoption of the setbacks, of the height limits, and other dimensional controls in the code. So it isn't intended to address those, not provide a reference point for challenging the validity of the adopted standards. That make sense?
Thank you for going over that again and clarifying it. At this time, are there any questions, comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Moore?
I don't believe I have any. Owen just clarified the point I was going to ask about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I had a question on the applicant had submitted an email concerning what caught my attention was he indicated that this is indicated that the desirable entry and garage access. In other words, the email July 8, 2017, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th line down, as he starts in the fourth, towards the end there. What is the desirable entry and garage access? What's that dimension that they were looking for, trying to maintain?
So I'm sorry, again, and we were talking about Exhibit 2, and this is the sentence that said, there is a flat area on the southeast corner of the lot, and is really the only functional area for an entry and flat parking surface? Was that the...
No,
this would be Exhibit 4.
Yeah, it would be behind Exhibit 4.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
Behind, yeah. Okay, good point. What is a desirable entry and garage access? At least in the plan itself, it looks like there's space in front. I am looking at it correct.
I can speculate. This is probably a question for the applicant. There is in the middle of the east side is the front door. And so if you look at the on Exhibit 4 on the site plan, the revised site plan, there is a projection on the east side, which is facing the top of the page, and that is an overhang over the front door. My assumption is that moving the garage farther north would
make it difficult to get in the front door.
Well, or would be a visual distraction or less preferred from a design standpoint. That's my assumption. But again, I think I would recommend that be clarified with the applicant.
Right. My follow-up question was, before knowing that this may be a door, a front entrance, was that he would have room to maintain a 15-foot setback and not just a 12-foot 5 or 12-foot 6.
I can't respond for the applicant, but it would be a design change to the layout, but it may be within the realm of a practical accommodation.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. And I just have one really minor one. I want to make sure that I'm looking at this correctly. The south side is the setback of 12 feet 5 inches, where it's really the code says 15.
Correct.
since there aren't any other questions or comments from the commissioners, at this time we'll hear comments from the applicant or the applicant's representative.
My name is Sarah Wakefield. Thank you all for your time and effort on this project. Regarding the entry to the house is centered on that overhang and pushing the garage north does compromise the entry. Pushing the whole house and the garage north puts it into the steep portion of the property and kind of eliminates the lower portion of the where the house comes out in a daylight basement. And Owen did mention it's a two-story house. The garage is a two-story structure. The house is two-story, but it's a daylight basement, so it's not elevated.
Okay. Do you have any other comments?
Just that they all the neighbors will be getting wonderful neighbors if they move in.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah. At this time, we'll take any public comments. You can do comments on the application. And we don't have any written comments to provide other than the one email that was received. So if you have a statement you would like to make, just remember to sign in, give us your name, and speak clearly.
My name is Ray Marastica. I'm representing the owner of Lot 7, which is the lot to the east. And that's the lot adjacent to where the garage is being built. I'm representing the Lucinda Abrams, who is the previous owner of the property, and McKenna Donovan, who is her daughter, who now owns that property, and the Abrams estate. Objections to the various to the variance as it concerns us is the loss of the existing view by the garage and the living quarters over the top of it at the southeast corner of the property. Of the 100 feet of lot 3 that impacts us, only 39 feet is open to view to the residents of lot 7. The location and height will take out completely the view of the occupants of this lot. Of the 174.38 feet of that property line, only 39 feet remains as a view to Lot 7. Originally, Lot 7 had the entire 174 feet of view, and now that has been compromised by the owner of that property. Our areas of mitigation are that the garage living structure be redesigned and moved to another location, or that the structure be reduced to a one-story structure with both units on the ground level and the roof of minimum pitch and of a full hip design. Number two, that all trees and or elevated vegetation be removed along the 100-foot lot 3 adjacent to lot 7. Trees and vegetation removal to be completed before the town of Coopville issues the building permit. I've had a certified arborist come in and has indicated that those trees that are on that line are, number one, non not native to this area. They are a cedar tree. They presently are 80 feet tall and will continue to grow to a height of 120 feet. The vegetation or the branches on those trees are now overriding our property line from 5 to 10 feet into our property. And the branches are growing from the ground all the way up, so there's absolutely no view through that line of trees. We would also ask that other vegetation that are planted on lot, between lots 2 and 3, and lots 3 and 4, that would interfere with the view for lot 7, not be allowed. My understanding is that they have also proposed to plant the same kinds of trees down the south side of that lot. Number 3, that the height of the main house structure be below the line of sight from lot 7, so as to not block the view of the town of Coopville Dock or any other view of the dock elevation. I have an exhibit to provide to you. It is a aerial photograph of lot 7 taken at the time that house was built. The property was purchased in 1980. In 1990, the structure was built and it was occupied in November of that same year. And at that time, there were no trees existing along that entire property line. And that's all I have. Do you have any questions? I'd be glad to answer them. Would it be proper to present this as an exhibit, hoping that we get it back?
Okay. Since you addressed that in your comments, you can walk around and show us that visual, and you will keep it with you then.
Okay.
Yes, I think so. It cannot be referred to because we would have to keep it in the record to in the event of an appeal. But I believe you can show them the planning commissioners.
Okay. It can't be part of the record. It's not part of the record. It can't go to the council. Council's going to have to make the decision.
Just one moment, sir. Let me get a clarification here. My understanding is that if he shows it to us, it is part of the record. And if that's not true, if you would advise me, then we either will look or won't look.
Actually, our secretary does bring up a point. If you can leave it with me to scan, then we could make it, we could include it in the record, a facsimile of it in the record. Is the Planning Commission comfortable with that?
And would you be comfortable leaving it for a scan?
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. I trust it.
You know where we are.
Okay, we'll take a quick look then.
Okay, this is the property line that is going to be impacted. The garage is going to go right there. This picture was taken about 5 years after the house was completed. And since then, the cedar trees have been planted all the way across the property line to about right here. Our only view right now is off of the back deck, which is the sunroom, and it looks down the hill to the boat ramp, and then we get the part of the town that extends beyond that, from the Catholic Church down to the dock. And that's the only part of our view that is left. Now, in exchange for leaving the property as planned, you take our view away here, and they agree to give us back the view by taking the trees out. It'll change our direction of view, but it will at least provide us with a view down the hill.
Thank you for your explanation on that. Prior to any further comments or questions from the commissioners, this is the time when the applicant's representative may respond to your public comments. No, I'm sorry. Are there any other public comments at this time? So thank you, Mr. Marastica. Thank you. And
thank you.
And there aren't any other public comments?
As regards his comments or additional comments?
Okay, any comments from the public concerning this variance request?
Yes. My name is Mark Reamer, 1198 Northeast Jackson Street. We're on lot one. So we're to the south and east is the impact to our property. So a couple of comments. First, just regarding the process, it feels very much as if a lot of discussion and input has been taken into consideration. The notice that we received, my impression was that this is when we were going to have an opportunity for all this input. And the consideration, hearing a staff recommendation being put forth at this point, seems premature. Just new to the process, and I would recommend a change to that going forward. As regards the request for variance, we're opposed to it as it will substantially impact our view. We paid a premium for our lot, as it is a view lot, and this proposed variance will impact that view and negatively impact our property value as a result. The comment earlier about the garage and the structure being, of a small size compared to neighboring properties is true as it's in two separate buildings, but combined it's very comparable, and a two-story garage is very unusual for the area. Last comment I would have is there has been a change now. The 12 foot is getting closer to the 15 foot requirement, but we moved to the area expecting to have a low density type setting, and we don't know what Jerry, the Oriokas, are going to do with their property, but should they come close to abutting that property line, we're starting to get into a high density or medium density type situation. And again, I think that's contrary to the town plan and what we're trying to achieve as a town of Cooperville. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reamer. Are there any other public comments based on this variance request that you would like to enter into the record? Okay, seeing none, then the applicant's representative, Sarah Wakefield, can respond to any public comments if she chooses.
Just like to say, we do respect everybody's wanting to be in Cooperville and enjoying the view. I was wondering, Owen, if you could clarify what the building height limit for properties in Cooperville are.
Sarah, typically you speak and then we we talk some more afterwards.
Okay, but so it is my understanding that the building height limit is 28 feet in Coopville. Clarify me if I'm wrong. And we certainly do respect that and try to lower the house as best we can and try to keep it in a location that was acceptable. So,
thank you, Sarah. Now that we have heard the applicant's response to the public comments, this is the time when the planning commissioners, having taken in all of the comments and having thoroughly reviewed the staff report prior to this hearing, this is a time when we can continue to ask questions and clarify our reason for being here, for one thing, what we can and we cannot address, and also hopefully ask questions that you might still have but cannot come from you now at this time. So, commissioners, do you have any other comments, questions?
The only comments I have is the, keep hearing this mention about a two-story structure, and looking at the Exhibit 10, looking at the contour lines of the topographical view, and as the representative for Lot 7 was mentioning, if I heard him correctly, he mentioned that he would like to have that two-story structure removed or not built. But if I understand it correctly, looking from the view from Lot 7 going towards the water, that view or elevation of that structure would be viewed as a one-story height. And a two-story, the second story is forward, and that's a lighted basement. Is that the term that was used? Daylight basement. So that you're not looking at a two-story structure. I'm just trying to clarify that in my mind. Am I correct to be thinking that
the residence itself is to the west, following the topography, has a daylight basement, and so the accessory structure actually appears to be one story above the height of the residence. It's on flat ground, and so both stories are above grade.
I'm just trying to visualize
it. There must be a slant to the hill, or a slant, I'm sorry, to the ground that makes the house be able to be, it appeared as a one story from one side, but two stories when you look at the daylight basement.
Correct, and that's Exhibit 10 shows the topo, and these are 5-foot contours, so something farther west will be we'll have a west exposure for the lower floor that is above grade, but towards the eastern portion of that lower floor, it will be below grade.
Just a general question, Owen. Would either of these proposed structures exceed height limitations that are in effect?
No, both would be within the 28-foot height limit, are required by code to be within the 28-foot height limit.
Where is this height being measured from? On the west side or from the east side of the building?
They're considered independently since they are it's considered a detached garage. It's attached by virtue of a covering over a breezeway, essentially. So each are measured according to the code, as an average surrounding grade. So the garage will be measured, that's relatively flat, so that will be, average grade is grade, and that'll be measured to the top of the peak of the, or to the peak of the roof. And then for the residents, we measured a measurement taken at the low side and at the high side, and those elevations are averaged and subtracted from the elevation of the peak of the roof. Does that make sense? So it is average, but they're not done. They're calculated as different structures, not as one structure.
You understand that?
And I'm going to go back, I think, to my earlier question, which I had no idea would be as pertinent to the direction the discussion has gone. But as the Planning Commission's responsibilities are concerned, it's to hear the variance request.
Correct. The remainder of the development of the site outside the setbacks is subject to the dimensional requirements in the code, which would be, again, standard setbacks and lot coverage, and the purview of the commission is just within that requested setback.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I understand that it's, if I heard you correctly, you said the contours are 5 feet separations. That would corner to exhibit 10.
On exhibit 10, that's correct. They are 5 feet.
So the scale that's on there is inadequate or incorrect?
According to the labeling or?
The scale of just above exhibit 10. There's a scale that a ruler, it goes from 0 to 180 feet. So if we measure contour lines, for example, where lot 7 and lot 8, the north-south line, and go west, we're at the 75 feet, and measure from the 75 feet point to the next contour line, according to that scale. That's almost like a 25, 30 foot.
So the
distance.
The contours are the horizontal or the vertical, mm-hmm. and the scale is horizontal. So they're actually measuring different dimensions.
Okay.
It is 5 feet between each of the contour lines, but because of the slope, the footage can be measured on the horizontal. I thought I did really well.
I don't know. Well, once again, I'm trying to get a visual of not have seen the site at all, but just going by the exhibits. And as I understand contour lines, being a navigation instructor back in my early years, if the scale up above, you're saying it's horizontal?
Correct.
And where does it say that these contour lines are 5 feet apart? Because the contour lines, well, the shoreline, if you look, the closer the contour line, the steeper the...
Where? Here's 45, 50, 55,
60, 60, 70, 75. Okay, I stand corrected. I took those as part of the property line, 45 feet from Leach Road to the, before I made the turn.
I understand that. Yeah, I'm right. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Labeled the contour lines.
Right, thank you.
Are there any other comments? Questions from the commissioners. You look like you're pondering.
I'm pondering.
Are you going to ask a question?
I really don't have a question.
Comment?
We'll get into discussion.
Okay. So at this time, having no more comments or questions, I would entertain a motion on variance VAR 060-17.
Ricardo, do you want to make the motion this time?
Based upon the application material provided to the Plan Commission staff report, comments made at the public hearing and other information in the public record, including the exhibits and concurring with the finding of facts and conclusions in draft form as set forth in the staff report, I move to recommend approval of variance VAR 060-17, subject to the conditions of the approval as proposed by town staff.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. At this time, is there any more discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, it seems to me that any building, well, first of all, that the owners of the property have a right to build a building there within the 28-foot height limitation. What we're talking about is a variance as far as setbacks. If it didn't seek the variance, they could still build a building there that could be 28 feet high, and that's going to interfere with somebody's view. Any building is going to do that. So I guess I don't think we're in the business of putting conditions as far as vegetation and removal of trees and that sort of thing as part of the variance process, because it just doesn't strike me as within our power. Owen, do you have any thoughts on that?
I believe that if the 16.14.020C, I believe, allows the council to apply conditions to mitigate impacts. I think if there are considered to be view impacts, and this would be a way of creating a trade-off whereby some may be lost but some may be gained, I believe it is within the commission's authority, because this will be a permanent, essentially a covenant on the property as to how it will be used in the future. And so I think it is within the realm of your authority to recommend conditions which may include vegetation management if there is a nexus between that and potential impacts or the requested variance.
As I understood the ordinance on pertaining to the view, I thought the authority was specifically to the town planner and not to the planning commissioners. I would feel kind of awkward to base my, well, put any conditions for vegetation without actually seeing the viewpoints of what vegetation we're asking the owner to remove or add. But just as far as the variance for the setback, I feel comfortable making a decision on that. Am I correct that it's up to the town planner to make that call?
The town planner, unless it is a condition of a land use permit, the town planner does not have the authority to require removal of vegetation that I'm aware of for view or any accommodation of view protection, except to a small extent within the shoreline master program, and this application is scrupulously outside of it. It is essentially abutting the 200-foot shoreline designation line, but outside of that, the town has no specific code that addresses view protection. So it would, I believe it can be a condition of approval But it's, if it doesn't occur through a condition of a land use application, then there's, or outside of a shoreline application, there's really very little that can be done. Or there is really nothing that the town planner can unilaterally do.
I would have to concur with Commissioner Moore's statement. First off, that property owners, when they buy property, whether it's built on to begin with or it sets for 10 or 20 years, still it's their property. And if they follow the correct permitting process, the building of a structure is governed only by the permitting process and not by whether someone else would prefer that area remain open. I think we all encounter situations in our living spaces where things change and some things impact the environment that we would like maybe not to. But that's why we have the regulations and the processes that we do. So my feeling is, or my recommendation would be, as the motion is already on the floor, that we vote on the motion as presented and according to the staff report, without attempting maybe to address some of these bigger issues that certainly don't fall into our responsibilities. So are there any other comments?
Just a comment. The motion is to make a recommendation to the City Council.
Correct.
On this. This is not a final decision, so
okay.
I'm ready to vote.
Okay. So, and again, I would like each commissioner to give their vote individually. And how about Commissioner Reyes, if you would start? I'm saying that wrong, aren't I?
That's okay.
Because
my vote is a yay.
And I also vote yes in favor of the variance request.
I also vote aye.
So the variance request has passed unanimously. I can't find my agenda, it's here somewhere. So we have just had closed the public hearing portion of the meeting. And is there any new business to come before the commissioners? And at this time, we also allow for audience input on any issue that you might want to bring before the commission. We ask again that it be less than 5 minutes and follow the same procedure. Step to the podium, give your name, and give us your comments.
Madam Chair, this is just a procedural question. At what time do these proposals go before the town council? Do we know that today?
I don't. Owen, do you?
It is my expectation that these will be placed on the July 25th town council meeting. Agenda.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments? Hearing none, then I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I would move this adjournment.
Second.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And thank you, those of you that came, sat through this meeting, whether you commented or not. I would just encourage those of you that had concerns that we can't address here. There possibly could be other ways through the town process, and I think having at least expressed them publicly may, just by doing that, lead to some resolution between neighbors. And I just would encourage people to think along the lines of, we can't do, you know, we have a right to our property, but we also could also make our neighbors enjoy we could each enjoy those views and those amenities so much more. So that would just be my thought. Thank you.
That's my paper.
Harvesting started, it's just starting to get red.